The chapter of Ready Player One covered in this episode contains material that may not be considered safe for work.
Ready Player One!
Hey!
Ready Player One!
Hey!
Ready Player One! Now listen closely.
Welcome back to Ready Player None, the only podcast that remembers it so you don't have to. Previously, Wade got pseudo-dumped by his pseudo-girlfriend. Let's see what indignities await him in Chapter 19. So Wade is not taking the quote-unquote breakup very well at all. It's been weeks since it happened, and he's struggling even to get out of bed. Now I agree with the idea that putting your alarm halfway across the room is the perfect way to get up out of bed to silence it, but he set it to Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham. I loathed that song with every fibre of my being. Pretentious twat. The song cut off, and my haptic chair reshaped and reoriented itself, transforming from a bed back into its chair configuration. I mean, we're given more information on what the haptic chair is in a minute, but I couldn't help imagining some sort of gelatinous beanbag. So the first part of this chapter is about Wade's apartment. He's spray-painted his large window black because everything in the outside world is a distraction from the hunt. He's replaced his apartment's door with a new airtight, armor-plated, vacuum-sealed war door. He orders everything online, and when the delivery person turns up, his identity and the delivery itself is verified with his computer. The parcel itself is placed in a vacuum-sealed room and scanned and x-rayed. He never has to see the delivery person face-to-face. As I'm recording this, the country is in complete lockdown due to a pandemic. I know that's going to date the episode, but maybe we could all do with a war door. Capitalism would inch forward without my actually having to interact face to face with another human being, which was exactly how I preferred it, thank you. His apartment just sounds like a depressing cube. There's a modular shower and toilet unit in one wall, small ergonomic kitchen that he's never used because he only knows how to warm up or microwave things. And in the rest of the room, it's got this Oasis rig in it. He's built the Oasis console himself, and he's here bragging about all its fancy processors and whatever, I don't really care. He spent every spare cent on getting all the mod cons for his Oasis rig. That's the long and short of it. We find out the chair is called a Shaptic Technologies HC5000 Fully Adjustable Haptic Chair. It's suspended like a gyroscope, so that it can feel flight or spinning or shaking. 4D cinema, you know, that kind of thing. He's also got a Shaptic boot suit. It's a full-body haptic feedback suit that can use actuators to simulate tactile sensations. He's more Oasis than man now. Turns out he's got two of these suits. These two haptic suits made up my entire wardrobe. My old street clothes were buried somewhere in the closet, collecting dust. Here's a Japanese stereotype for you. Hikikomori. He's also got haptic data gloves. He's got this endorsement deal with Dynatro? Which has allowed him to have this top-of-the-line visor. As we said before, Oasis visors draw the game environment onto the inside of your retinas, because that's safe, but this particular one has the highest frame rate and resolution perceptible to the human eye. The real world looked washed out and blurry by comparison. I think you're just giving yourself cataracts, Wade. I really hate the cliché of saying, better than real life graphics. There is fundamentally not a graphic out there that looks better than real life. Don't at me. Then we talk about his sound system, he's got this thing that makes smells, he's got an omnidirectional treadmill. All of this, I feel, is just a delivery system for Ernest Cline's idea of brand names, so I'm not going to dignify them by reading them aloud. They're barely plays on words. Oh lord, what's this? Oh lord, what's this? You could also purchase an ACHD, anatomically correct haptic doll, if you wanted to have more intimate encounters inside the Oasis. ACHDs came in male, female, and dual sex models. I don't like the implied fetishization of intersex people in that last one. And were available with a wide array of options. Realistic latex skin, servo motor... You know what, stop. I'm not going to read out this whole paragraph about realistic sex dolls. So we find out that Wade had purchased one of these, the Shaptic Uber Betty, a few weeks after Artemis stopped speaking to him. After spending several highly unproductive days inside a standalone brothel simulation called the Pleasure Dome, I'd gotten rid of the doll out of a combination of shame and self-preservation. I'd wasted thousands of credits, missed a whole week of work, and was on the verge of completely abandoning my quest for the egg when I confronted the grim realization that virtual sex, no matter how realistic, was really nothing but glorified computer-assisted masturbation. At the end of the day, I was still a virgin, all alone in a dark room humping a lubed-up robot. We've all been there at some point in our lives, haven't we, listeners? So I got rid of the ACHD and went back to spanking the monkey the old-fashioned way. I hope somebody cleaned that robot. I felt no shame about masturbating. Thanks to Anorak's Almanac, I now thought of it as a normal bodily function, as necessary and natural as sleeping or eating. We are treated to an excerpt of Anorak's Almanac on this next page. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's about 12 lines long. First sentence is, I would argue that masturbation is the human animal's most important adaptation. There is a long and discomforting paragraph. You know what? I'm going to read the whole thing. Cue the music. I would argue that masturbation is the human animal's most important adaptation. The very cornerstone of our technological civilization. Our hands evolved to grip tools, all right, including our own. You see, thinkers, inventors, and scientists are usually geeks, and geeks have a harder time getting laid than anyone. Without the built-in sexual release valve provided by masturbation, it's doubtful that early humans would have ever mastered the secrets of fire or discovered the wheel. And you can bet that Galileo, Newton, and Einstein never would have made their discoveries if they hadn't first been able to clear their heads by slapping the salami, or knocking a few protons off the old hydrogen atom. The same goes for Marie Curie. Before she discovered radium, you can be certain she first discovered the little man in the canoe. You're welcome. Does anyone ever say, the little man in the canoe? Am I just finding it a really creepy thing for a man to say? Because I'm a huge gay, or is that just a particularly gross thing to say? In this chapter that seems to be a dark time in Wade's life about a tragic quote-unquote breakup, we've just got a lovely passage about masturbation. What are you aiming for tonally here? You're trying to present it as being funny, but it's not funny. It is pathetic. Are we supposed to feel that Wade is pathetic? Certainly that's the impression I got from the sex doll plot thread. Wade's got a software assistant modelled after Max Headroom. So of course we have a brief bit about how Max Headroom was such brilliant television. Before that, my system agent software had been modelled after the actress Erin Gray of Buck Rogers and Silver Spoons fame, but she'd proved to be way too distracting. Sound the implied Ernest Cline erection alarm. Wade checks to see if he's had any messages. Max is advanced enough to know he's talking about Artemis, who still hasn't gotten in touch. The two banter and Wade seems to get annoyed, but it's all part of Max Headroom's programming. Wade enjoys the repartee because he misses H. Significant portions of the next three pages are dedicated to Wade's daily fitness routine, and as tempted as I am to skip over most of it, it looks like it's going to be a short episode if I do. So he signed up for a gym simulation. His haptic suit simulates all the weights and aerobics and push-ups and so on, and he's taken to doing this after growing into an XL-size haptic suit. I also had a habit of overeating when I was depressed or frustrated, which was most of the time. Relatable. And as part of this gym sim, gymulation? Simnasium? We'll workshop that later. There's a lockout software on his rig. My computer monitored my vital signs and kept track of exactly how many calories I burned during the course of each day. If I didn't meet my daily exercise requirements, the system prevented me from logging into my Oasis account. This turns out to be a really good incentive for him. He has to exercise or he has no access to the only thing he finds worth living for. And somehow the software keeps track of all his dietary intake as well. Although that's mostly due to the fact that it orders him the low-calorie foods in question. But it worked. The pounds began to melt off, and after a few months, I was in near-perfect health. For the first time in my life, I had a flat stomach and muscles. He also uses his omnidirectional treadmill to go for runs. Today he's on the Bifrost track, a semi-transparent running track, a curved looping ribbon suspended in a starry nebula. It's kind of weird that, for all the detail it goes into on this space bridge, it never actually mentions any rainbows. What kind of Bifrost doesn't have rainbows? As I began to run, Max fired up my 80s music playlist. As the first song began, I quickly rattled off its title, artist, album, and year of release from memory. A Million Miles Away, The Plimsolls, Everywhere at Once, 1983. This is how normal people talk. When he finishes the run, he peels off the haptic suit and puts it in this, what do they call it, mosh wash cleaning unit? I don't know what mosh wash means. Don't bother telling me. He takes a shower, the shower tunes playlist plays, I don't care. The shower worked a lot like an old car wash. I just stood there while it did most of the work, blasting me from all angles with jets of soapy water, then rinsing me off. Okay, fine. Nice future mod con there. Next sentence. I had no hair to wash because the shower also dispensed a non-toxic hair-removing solution that I rubbed all over my face and body. This eliminated the need for me to shave or cut my hair, both hassles I didn't need. Okay. That's kind of fine. Nobody likes a trip to the hairdresser, and shaving your legs is a pain in the neck. I looked a little freaky without any eyebrows, but I got used to it. I'd hate to judge by appearances. But Wade is now pale from staying indoor all the time, completely hairless, like a naked mole rat, very skinny, and very muscular. If I saw this person on the street, fight or flight response right there. His breakfast, despite the fact that it's 7 p.m, is a can of sludge, a high-protein, vitamin D-infused breakfast drink. What kind of company would name their drink Sludge? No one's gonna... How did that get through marketing? He gets his clean suit on. He gets back into the rig. I'd been so proud of all this high-tech hardware when I'd first purchased it. But over the past few months, I'd come to see my rig for what it was. An elaborate contraption for deceiving my senses. To allow me to live in a world that didn't exist. Each component of my rig was a bar in the cell where I'd willingly imprison myself. I'm glad to see the protagonist in this sci-fi dystopia book is finally starting to turn around on the idea of omnipresent virtual reality. And all it took was being friend-zoned. Standing there, under the bleak fluorescence of my tiny one-room apartment, there was no escaping the truth. In real life, I was nothing but an antisocial hermit, a recluse, a pale-skinned pop culture-obsessed geek, an agoraphobic shut-in with no real friends, family, or genuine human contact. I was just another sad, lost, lonely soul wasting his life on a glorified video game. And that's where the book ends. Thanks for listening! But not in the Oasis. In there, I was the great Parzival. Imagine that previous paragraph in reverse, with just as much staccato sentence delivery. He logs back into the Oasis, and instead of whatever Last Starfighter reference was it, as his passphrase, he's now got a They Might Be Giants lyric. No one in the world ever gets what they want, and that is beautiful. There was a brief pause, and then I let out an involuntary sigh of relief as the Oasis faded into existence all around me. End chapter 19. This chapter seemed to be aiming for pathos, but after everything Wade's gone through, no. No sympathy here, no pity. Well, no pity is perhaps inaccurate. He's a pitiable creature, but do I feel sympathy? No. And that weird digression about masturbation, that was just out of nowhere. I wonder if Ernest Cline had a girlfriend when he was writing this part. I know we must try and separate the art from the artist, but when both of your self-insert characters agree on something, that's judge, jury, and executioner right there. I'm not completely uncharitable enough to consider the homophobic subtext. Pretty much the only thing mentioned from the 80s that Wade outright detests is a song by a gay man. And the Bifrost Bridge doesn't have any rainbows. I know this sounds like one of my sarcastic things where I'm actually accusing him of homophobia, because I'm not. I just think those are two weird coincidences to happen in the same chapter. And then so much of this chapter was just about all this future technology with all its stupid brand names. There's not really anything to latch onto on this one. But in its defense, I suppose that's the idea. I've said it before about pacing, and this is the perfect place for a slow chapter to happen. If you want to be really depressed by a glimpse into somebody's life, you can follow me on Twitter at TheLastGherkin, or follow the show on Twitter at RPN_pod. Watch along with subtitles on YouTube, The Last Gherkin, or download the MP3 at thelastgherkin.podbean.com. This episode also featured the track Smooth Lovin' by Kevin MacLeod. More information in the description. Till next time, Ready Player Bone. Was that anything? Ready Player Onanism. Ready Player Come. Burp. Without the built-in sexual release valve provided by masturbation, it's doubtful that early humans would have ever masturbated. Nope. We are treated to an excerpt from the Allspark Almanac. That's not what it's called. Oh no!